Good evening, and welcome to Radio PRS. I'm your co-host, Mike Ranton. Radio PRS is brought to you by the Psychical Research Society of Kansas City. PRS is a not-for-profit organization whose purposes include programs and activities to investigate, study, research, demonstrate, discuss, interpret, and expand information concerning psychic phenomena, parapsychology, and related subjects, and to disseminate information by any and all media of communication. The Psychical Research Society is not just an organization for those who practice the intuitive arts. We are here for anyone who is interested in exploring the subjects covered in our mission statement. If you'd like more information on becoming a member, please visit our website at prskc.org. Our guest this evening is intuitive consultant Kat Wilder. You can call in and talk with Kat and Nikki this evening at 646-668-8212. Now here's your host, Nikki Williams.
Good evening, Mike. How are you this evening?
Good. How are you?
I am fabulous. It is a beautiful day here in the good old Kansas City area. I just got back from a trip to Iowa where I got to visit both of my girls who are in college. Hey, girls. I know they're listening, so hi. How's it going? I am so excited about our guest this evening, about Kat Wilder. Actually, we had Kat's sister, Sarah, on just a few weeks ago, who was a wonderful guest, and we heard a little bit about Kat from her sister, but I am so excited to introduce Kat to you. Kat is, wow, I don't have the words, Kat, because when I was looking over the little bio that you sent me, you are such a multi-talented and multi-faceted individual, and I'm honored to have you on our show this evening.
Well, thank you, Nikki. I appreciate that.
Well, I'm so glad to have you here, just like I said. But I want to know, before we get going onto the topic of psychometry, I always ask everyone, give me a little information about yourself. And I know I found out a little bit about you from your sister. But let's hear a little bit about how you got to the point that you're at right now in your spiritual journey. And I know that, well, for example, you're currently working on your own autobiographical book. But I want to hear just an abbreviated version of your story, if you would, please.
Well, I was born with psychic gifts, and luckily I was born into a family where my mom was very open-minded. I was talking to spirits as soon as I could talk, and rather than her be very frightened and kind of squelch that whole event, she just kind of accepted it and pretended like it was another one of my imaginary friends. And when I would draw pictures of these people that I was speaking to on my little chalkboard, she would take pictures of them and save them for me to see later on. And she'd tell me about the little conversations I'd have with them and be talking to the corner of the room, and she'd ask if they were friendly, and I would tell her yes and no or whatever. And as long as they seemed nice, she was okay with it. And she didn't ever discourage any of that behavior. And everything kind of started with that. And, you know, as I got a little older, I started exploring different avenues, different paths of spirituality, everything from, you know, I was raised in a Southern Baptist household, so that's kind of a little different whenever you're struggling with psychic gifts and spiritual things that don't really go along with what your family is trying to teach you, and that, you know, any kind of divination or witchcraft is wrong. And here I was exploring Wicca, and I was exploring different types of paganism and different theologies and Buddhism and Shintoism and all these different things. And eventually I realized I didn't really fit into any one niche. I follow a blend of spiritual paths, but it's mainly governed by a path that I've kind of designed for myself that involves a lot of Egyptian ritualism, as well as a spirituality brought to me by the Lion People, which is what my book is going to be about. And there's a lot of discussion in the book because so many people are unfamiliar with that group of I guess it could fall under the category of indigo children, although it's really not. It's a separate group, but for those people who don't know anything about the lion people, that's the best way to kind of categorize them without knowing the whole story. And it's a long and complicated story, so I won't get into that. But that's where I am. That's where I am today. And you know, I've always practiced all the gifts that I found that I had, and I tried to find the things that I had strengths in, and animal communication, and psychometry, being an empath. That's always been something that I hate to say had to deal with, because that makes it sound like it's more a burden than a gift. But it's a learning curve, certainly, and you learn to deal with it. And I've learned to ground and shield before I ever got involved with Wicca, and learned from my group, ground and shield. I was like, I already know how to do this. I've done this for years. So that's the long and short, I guess, of where I've gotten to now. And those people that have come to see me at, you know, as psychic, as clients, might know me as the Steelinist, and that's what I've gone by for years because of the lion people spirituality and my closeness to cats and my animal communication skills and that path. Also, my spiritual guides kind of follow along, the goddess Sakmet, so that's where that comes from.
Well, you definitely have an interesting story, and you're so, so very, very gifted. And I can, you know, what's interesting is that we have very similar backgrounds. I grew up in a Baptist household as well, and discovered from a very early age, extremely early age, well, pretty much always, that my differing spiritual gifts, and that it is very difficult to find a way to balance those with a brand of spirituality that isn't necessarily encouraging of that. So, yeah, I've kind of developed my own eclectic brand of spiritual path as well over the years. But, yeah, I find that fascinating. So my question for you is, we're here mainly today to talk about psychometry. And I know that there are a lot of things we see in the movies and on television about psychometry. But first of all, if you could, define for us what psychometry is.
Well, the dictionary describes psychometry as the art or faculty of divining facts from an object from touching or close proximity to the object or person involved. Well, that sounds very technical and kind of conjures up this idea of a person with a crystal ball or maybe some divining rods or something, and doesn't really give you a good idea of what psychometry is. And then, of course, we've all seen the psychics on CSI who grab a necklace or something and close their eyes and go, oh, yes, this belonged to Janet White, and she lived in a little white cottage. And it's really not like that at all. the way I like to describe it is every person, every living being, or every living thing, if we think about it in that way, and depending on your beliefs, there are a lot more living things in certain people's belief systems than others. And certainly events have their own energy as well. But all living things have an energy, and all events have an energy. And, of course, this universe of ours is made up of energy. And if you think of the universe as a giant pool of water, and then imagine that a person or an event or a creature or, you know, whatever living thing or event that you have in mind is a stone. And you toss that stone into that pool of water. Well, it's going to cause ripples in that pool of water, and eventually it will sink to the bottom, and you won't see that the surface of the water has changed, but the pool of water has infinitely changed forever because the rock is there. To me, psychometry is being able to read those ripples in that pool of the universe and understand what that event or that person was, and how they affected the universe around them, and the difference that they made. And obviously, the bigger the rock, or the weirder the shape, or whether it skips across the pond, the different ripples it's going to make. the easier it is to read. And I think that that is the best way, you might not know what psychometry is, to understand that this is about reading energy. And it's not auras, it's not energy fields off of people or anything like that. It's a residual energy from life and from events that happen that place energy on an object or a person. It's the same way that an empath can read emotions off of people. That's how I read energy off of objects and things, and sometimes people, or places. This is how I use psychometry in my paranormal investigations. And by reading those energies, I can form a picture. It's like little puzzle pieces. And sometimes if the energy is really strong or the ripples were really big in the pond, if you think of it that way, I can get a full event, like a little movie of what happened, and can describe to the client or to the person who's building or whatever we're investigating what happened in that place. And that's how psychometry works for me. First started, I had to use crystals and other things to kind of help ground me spiritually and give me some anchors to kind of help get some spiritual guidance. But I've gotten to the point now where I can do it from a photo of an object, or sometimes if people have a really good audio recording of a person's voice and they want me to do a reading on the person, I can sometimes do readings that way. I've gotten a lot better at it from doing it from a distance. I don't necessarily have to touch the object anymore, but it does help to see it. And obviously, an in-person reading is going to be the best.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I love your analogy of the pool and the ripples in the pool and how tossing that stone in changes that forever. It, in a way, it also kind of reminds me of the butterfly effect. You know, a butterfly flaps its wings in one part of the world and there's an earthquake, you know, halfway across the world. And I think it really shows just how much everything that we do, every word that we say, every action that we take, even every thought that we have, because thoughts in and of themselves are energy, truly affects everything and everyone and the connectedness of all of us.
Oh, absolutely. I would totally agree with you on that.
And I just think, I think it's an amazing gift, and I love how you talk about, you know, you're getting better at distance reading, and it reiterates the point that we do, even as intuitives, as psychics, we have to hone our craft and hone our art form, and practice makes perfect. You know, well, not perfect, but it's a cliche, but it is true. The more you use your gifts, the more you tune to them. And just like a piano that sits around and never gets played is going to fall out of tune. And yes, you have to tune it anyway. But you don't use it, you lose it. I mean, you use it and you hone it and you make it better. And you really do. You really can see how that's making a difference not only in your life but in the lives of those you come in contact with.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, and I absolutely believe that anybody, you know, even experts to beginners to wherever you feel like you are, you know, don't doubt yourself. Just keep on trying and keep doing it. And the best thing, the best word of advice I could ever give anybody who's trying out a new skill or trying to figure out where their psychic abilities are strongest is to never use negative words whenever they're doing things. Like, for instance, if I get a sense from an object and it's unusual, I would not use that word. I would not say this is an unusual feeling. I would say, you know, this is different. this is exotic, this is exciting, because your brain, just like anything else, is trained to hear those words, unusual, strange, weird, odd, and it's going to be trained to know that when it hears those words, those are a negative connotation, and it will train you to not want to have those feelings. And as long as you use positive words and positive connotations, I think that the gift will come to you more often, and Spirit's going to be more giving to you because you're more open to it.
Very much so, and not to mention the fact that you're also attracting that energy to yourself. So if you're using those negative words and the negative thoughts and putting that out there, you know, that's what you're going to be attracting. So, you know, put out the positive, man. Keep the positive going.
Exactly.
Because that's
exactly.
Yeah, it's the law of attraction. Yeah. So when did you first begin to discover that this is a gift that you possessed? About what time in your life?
You know, probably when I was an adolescent, and I started. My mom was a big antique and garage sale shopper. She was, always wanting to go to the thrift stores and the antique shops and this kind of thing. And I think it started whenever I would pick things up and ideas of where they came from. And I would be surprised. Like, she'd say, oh, that's really pretty. I wonder where that came from. And I would say, well, I think actually it came from this place, or it belongs to this kind of person. And then when I was in college, I got really lucky. There was a really good rock and mineral store there. And I used to go shopping at this rock and mineral store, and I would just go through and touch some of these rocks and minerals, and I could tell from what part of the world that they came from. And then I would ask the store managers and just to verify what I was getting. And I found that I was right almost 100% of the time. And that's when I thought, wow, this could be really useful. And I started really trying to practice. And I would have friends or coworkers, things like that. I would have them write things down on a piece of paper, and then I would do readings off of the piece of paper, and I'd say, just think about whatever you want me to do a reading on, and just doodle on the paper. I don't care what you draw, just doodle on the paper. And then I would read off the paper, or, you know, they'd have a card from somebody, and they'd say, I don't know how this person, what their intentions are. Will you look at this card for me? And I quickly got a reputation at work that, well, you know, go ask her. She's the psychic, you know. And I would just touch these things and learn facts about people. And I ended up doing a few pregnancy readings that way. And they came out really interesting. And that was the first time I had ever done that. And that was really fun because that was not something I had ever tried. Nobody had ever given me the opportunity. The thing about psychometry and psychometric readings is that people don't bring you mundane objects to read. People bring very personal items. So these readings are always extremely intimate. And it's something that I always tell people ahead of time, especially if I can tell before I touch the object that it's going to be a very personal story. I warn them ahead of time, you know, how detailed do you want me to get with this reading? What are you prepared to hear and not hear? Because sometimes it can be very traumatic for people, especially when they bring objects from, you know, past bloodlines. I had a reading once where a client had brought a piece of clothing from a past relative, and that relative had a closed casket funeral, but they did not know why. No one had told them why the funeral was a closed casket ceremony. And they wanted me to read the object and tell them And as soon as I touched it, it was like my hand was burned.
Oh, my.
And I had to ask them, how much detail do you really want on this? Because it was extremely graphic. And fortunately, they were prepared. They kind of had steeled themselves for what answer was coming. But it was a really graphic thing to have to tell somebody, and it was a graphic experience for me, because whenever I do these psychometric readings as an empath, I go through that experience, and
yeah.
I feel what that person felt, and so I cried with them. it was very emotional. It was very emotional, but that's something I always tell people ahead of time, because I don't want them to get into something that they're not ready for. And I don't want them to feel like, you know, they're not getting what they ask for either. But
yeah, yeah.
I want them to, you know, come into it with open eyes and know exactly where I'm going with it. And if they want the intimate experience, then that's great. I'm open for that. But I just want them to know. And that's usually the type of readings that I get. Sometimes people will bring pet belongings. I've read for pets before.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And that's always kind of fun. I enjoy those. They're usually a lot more positive. And,
yeah.
You know, or sometimes it'll just be a loved one that they want to know about, somebody they never met. You know, and a lot of times that loved one will be there at the reading, and that's when they're really fun, because then you can hear them and they're trying to pass messages, and it gets really entertaining, and everybody always has a good time.
Those I can attest to are definitely the fun ones, and you know, I'm really glad to hear you say that you make sure before you go into the reading just how much detail do you want to go into. Because I do find that very frequently it happens a lot, particularly when you go at fairs, Now, if someone's contacting you personally, coming to you for a reading outside of an event like that, it frequently is they are more prepared for that. But I find that oftentimes at fairs, when we see large number of people over a weekend, we're not giving as long a reading, that frequently people are there more for entertainment, sometimes for information, yes. But a lot of times they don't necessarily want the entire, I guess I want to say burden, even though it's not a burden, I guess the entirety of the truth. Sometimes they're looking for validation, sometimes, you know, and it's. I think it's a really good idea to, before the reading starts, say, hey, all right, how far do you want to go with this? I think that's a really great idea. And I think it's very ethical of you as well.
Well, I try to make the reading as fulfilling for the client as possible and as personal to them as possible also. And, you know, if they're not satisfied, I'm the first one that will turn right around and give them the money back and say, I'm sorry.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Because
yeah, I understand. There are certain clients that don't connect with certain psychics. It just, you know, some people, their energies just don't mesh sometimes. And sometimes you have to go, okay, I'm not the person you need to see about this. It's not extremely common occurrence. It's really not very common, but it does happen from time to time. And it's good to know, as having been a client as well as a reader, it's good to know when you come to a reader like that that may not connect with you, that they are ethical enough to say, okay, I don't think we're going to accomplish anything here, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm not going to deed anybody any lines.
Yeah. So
I go through enough emotional trauma with the real stuff.
Yeah.
I don't need to go through any of that. So
exactly. Very much so. Very much so. So tell me, if you would, what is probably the most if you could pick one or maybe two, the most interesting experience that you've had with psychometry?
Most interesting. A paranormal investigation that I was on of a building in Kansas City. I won't say which one. And I actually did this with my sister, so she could validate this for me. We walked through the basement, and when I touched the walls, you could smell alcohol, and it was weird. It was the weirdest sensation, and upstairs there was a presence that lived on. I say lived, but it spent its time around the staircase, and it wasn't a very happy entity, and it really wanted to push people down the stairs. And when I touched the stair rail, I could feel him wanting to push me down the stairs. And we later found out that people had seen a gentleman standing at the top of the stairs many times in the building, and that the building had been used in the early days of Kansas City as a bootleg refinery to smuggle alcohol in and out of the city.
Oh, hence the alcohol smell.
Hence the alcohol. And it was like everything that I touched and everything that we got was validated. And that was such an interesting experience because every level of that building had something different going on. There was a room, and I won't get really graphic on this, but I touch everything. That's just the way I am. I just touch everything. There was a room where I was like, whoa, there was a lot going on in here, and it's kind of naughty. it was a brothel.
That explains that.
it was a brothel, and all of this was confirmed by historical documents later on. So it was really a neat experience that everything we got was confirmed, and that was really fun because there were so many different elements in one place. So that was probably one of my favorite incidents. Another one was I had a pendant made for me by a very close friend, and I wore it all the time. This was when I was in college, and it was you'll think this is ironic, but it was a pendant that was shaped as a cross, and it was made out of nails, and it was handmade. And I wore it because it was given to me by this close friend, and it meant something because of that. And there was somebody at the time that I didn't know had very bad intentions to hurt me. Of course, I was fooled because when you're that age and you're just naive and stupid. But anyway, he touched the necklace and it physically burned him.
Wow.
And
it became a talisman of sorts.
And I was like, wow. And he was a Wicca practitioner, and he wanted to soak it in spring water and cleanse it. And I was like, no, you're not touching my necklace. I was like, at that moment, I realized it was protecting me and that I had something I needed to worry about. And so
definitely,
while that wasn't a psychometric experience for me, it was very significant, and it's one that I remember very vividly.
Wow. That is absolutely fascinating, too. And I've had similar experiences with objects that were gifted to me, or that had just how I had a strong pull towards that ended up in my possession, that would have similar, I guess, repelling effects on certain I guess I'll call them basement people, you know, because you have balcony people that lift you up and you have the basement people that drag you down. And, yeah, that's absolutely a fascinating experience to have had. And I think for me, it just shows that intention and that energy imprints on objects. It really does. So that gifted necklace to you and the love that the person had for you that gave you that really imprinted itself on that object and became a talisman for you.
Yeah, it definitely did. And it was a warning sign I should have paid more attention to be honest, because he definitely was a big
bless your heart. Well, you know, we were all young and stupid at one point in time. You know?
Yeah, that's exactly
I think I'm
right.
Still young and stupid, just not as young or as stupid. but hey, you know, life is lessons learned, you know, lessons learned. I want to remind our callers, you can call in and talk with us this evening at 646-668-8212. We're talking to Kat Wilder. We're talking about psychometry, which is absolutely one of the most interesting intuitive arts, I say, you know, and they're all interesting in some aspect, but it's definitely a more rare gift that you don't see as often. You know, we have a lot of us, there are quite a few empaths in the world, and there are quite a few of us who read tarot, and, you know, I don't want to say it's common because psychic gifts aren't necessarily common, but I want to say as far as modalities go, those things, you will see a bit more prevalence of, but psychometry is definitely something you don't come across very often. And it is certainly astounding from a client perspective as well when you can come to someone like yourself or another psychometrist and have this experience. So my question for you is now, I know that you and your sister, which, by the way, you guys are going to be at the Psychic Fair in October, correct?
Yes, we are.
That's a PRS Psychic Fair, October 16th through 18th. Now, I know that you guys do like a tandem type of reading. Am I right about that?
We do. It's minds in tandem, psychic reading.
How does that work for you guys? How does that work for you guys? Because I know that, and we were talking about last night, that you guys have very different, you're very different in your spiritual gifts, but that it really balances everything out. So how does that work for you guys?
We love it, and the clients seem to really respond well to it. My sister is extremely visual, and she picks up on people's spirit guides and their past relatives and events in their lives really quickly and visually, just very present. So she gets, you know, if somebody's family is there and present, I'm talking about past family, she
right.
picks up on it immediately and will say, you know, your uncle's here with us and he's wearing a black jacket and he's got a, you know, a beanie on or whatever. And she can describe him exactly and she's got it down and they may pass messages through her that way. Myself, my gifts are more intuitive and empathic and psychokinetic. And so I feel and hear things. I have learned to form a visual image from my feelings and from what I hear, because if somebody's asking about an event or they're asking about a person, spirit will usually guide me so that I can feel what that person felt and I describe it to them from that person's perspective. You know, if they want to know, well, tell me what happened with this in my life or with that, I can usually describe it through that person's perspective as a psychometrist and as an empath together. And, of course, we both use tools for divination. We can both read tarot. I read Egyptian runes. She reads bones. We both can read palms. So usually she will start the reading off, and I start trying to read the people as she's talking to them and kind of getting into the reading, and then I start filling in the gaps. And sometimes I'll draw some runes or draw some cards, things like that, throw in some more information. And that way we get both a visual picture and an intuitive picture of the events or the question that they're looking for an answer to, so that they have a complete answer rather than just a partial one. And
right.
Sometimes I will. She doesn't pick up on, and she'll pick up on things I don't pick up on. For instance, if somebody's wanting to know about their pets, I will almost always pick up on that because I have a very strong animal communication and animal and psychic bond. And so I can almost always answer those questions, or with objects. And if people want to know more about their spiritual guides and what they look like, then my sister's probably a better psychic for that. And so the two of us combined give a really well-rounded reading for people. And it's interesting to see how the two things kind of mesh together. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. It's like she does corners and I do the middle or something. You know, I don't know how you would how you would word it, but it's with the two of us together, we paint a whole picture rather than just pieces. And it's so much fun because when we work together, I find that our abilities are amplified. There's something about the two of us together that both of us get sharper, stronger readings. Both of us get messages come through much clearer. We get messages right away. We don't have to meditate. We don't usually have to bring extra anchoring tools. There's something about us being sisters and having had this ability in our family. It's come down through my mother's side of the family for generations. And there's something about that just, it's like an amplifier. And it's just, it's a fantastic thing, not only to participate in, but I think the clients feel it too, and they really enjoy it.
That's wonderful. You know, my sister and I have, we've done on occasion, we don't do them on a regular basis because she works insane hours, but we do tag team tarot readings very frequently. And we have very similar experiences. What's interesting about it is that neither of us knew that the other one read tarot or did any type of psychic work or while we were growing up. We didn't discover this about each other until we were adults. And I'd been studying astrology and tarot since, like, you know, the age of 9. And the thing is I think for us, growing up in a family that kind of discouraged any of that, kept us secretive even from each other. And my girls, my daughters, are both very psychically gifted, and they have very opposite gifts of each other, kind of like you guys do, and they balance each other out well. You know, one daughter that's, they're both empaths, but one is a medium, and the other is more of a clairvoyant and medical intuitive. And it's interesting to seeing as they grew up in a household where their psychic gifts were encouraged as opposed to discouraged, how they've developed along those lines. And when they're both in tune and really reading, just like you were talking about it, it's like something just clicks. It really does. And I don't know any male siblings that do, you know, what you and your sister do and what I and my sister and my girls do, but it's really an interesting thing, that sister bond, I think. And I think that really adds to it. So tell me what it was like growing up with that. You know, I know that, now you're the older sibling, correct?
Yes.
So tell me what that was like for you and your sister, you know, growing up and sharing those experiences.
Well, you know, like any two sisters that are born far apart, we didn't really get along when we were younger.
And I know that feeling.
You know, she was the younger sister, and to be honest, we fought a lot, and so we really didn't become close until after I moved out and went to college, and then we both kind of came around and grew up and got over that whole thing. And at that point, she had already started in her own, you know, following into the paranormal and metaphysical field. And what we did was, honestly, we would do these experiments. And this is where we got the idea to call our readings Minds in Tandem. We would get in the car, one of our cars, and we would each take a notebook, and we would just drive to a location where maybe it was just a random location, or maybe it was a location that one of us knew something had happened, but the other one did not. And we would just park and then sit and see what we got from the location. We would write in our notebooks whatever we got, whatever came to mind, whatever it was, just free-flowing, free-riding psychic reading. And then we'd drive to the next location. And we wouldn't open our notebooks until we got back home, and we'd compare our results, and we'd see how they matched up. And it was interesting because you could tell right off the bat that we were getting the same things from different perspectives. Because, for instance, we went to a location where there was a really bad house fire, and she was getting people's names and, you know, what they wore and what they looked like, and that they died in a fire. And I was getting, I can't breathe. There's smoke everywhere. It's dark. I can't see to get out. And you know, and where are my kids? And she'd get, there's a father and mom and two kids. And so you'd get these two different viewpoints of the exact same event. And it was really interesting. And we started noticing these little differences, but the fact that we were reading the same event. And we thought, wow, what an interesting contrast. And that's when we decided we need to do readings together. And that's when we started doing that. And it's just been an adventure ever since.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. And that, what a neat experiment. I'm going to have to get Becky to try that with me. We'll see if we can do something similar. That is so, sounds so neat. I mean, wow. And what a, what an amazing way also to bond as sisters, not just as intuitives, as gifted psychics, but as sisters. That really had to bring you much closer together, I would think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was definitely something that, it was finally something we had in common because, you know, growing up, we were so different. I mean, we were like night and day different.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So to have something that we could share was fantastic. And it just, yeah, it really is a bonding experience. And I look forward to it and I enjoy it. And I know she does too. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she definitely does. She definitely does. It was wonderful having her on the show a few weeks ago. Well, this is just absolutely, this is great. And I'm so glad that you guys are going to be at the fair again, October 16th through 18th, everybody. So let's get back to psychometry a little bit. If there is anything specifically that you would really want to make sure people know before coming to you for a psychometry type of reading, anything specific that you really want to put out there that says, you know, be aware, what would that be?
Oh, that's a tough question. I guess one thing I would say, and this is something that, that happens occasionally, is let's say, for instance, we have somebody that has their great-grandmother's ring, and they want me to do a reading off of it. If you've worn this ring on a necklace for 10 years, I'm probably going to get a reading off of you and not your grandma.
Mm.
And that's something to think about when you're bringing an object, is if it's been handled or touched by someone else for a really long time, or if somebody else has worn it for a really long time, unless there was a really big event or a really strong personality attached to that object, I'm going to get whatever's most recent.
Right.
And
right.
That is an important thing to keep in mind, is that if you want something red, bring something that, you know, like I said, you didn't take and use as your own wedding ring or something, because it's going to come with your energy on it and not the person that you really want a reading for. And then it's going to be I don't say a waste, because you're going to get a good reading. It just won't be for who you want.
Right.
And I think that that's something people don't think about, because they think about who it belonged to and that's why it's special to them. But they don't realize they have their own energy imprint that they're leaving on it too.
Right, and now it belongs to them. That, well, This may not be a great analogy, but it kind of reminds me of a, you know, in the Harry Potter books when they talk about if a wizard wins a wand from another wizard, the wand changes allegiance. If you know, but
yeah,
but it's become that ring. If you've worn it as your wedding ring, and say you've been married for 10 years, you know, that's your ring now. Yeah, it was your grandmother's ring, but it's yours now, and it's definitely going to have that imprint on it. Definitely. That's good to know. That's very good to know. I hadn't even thought about that, but that makes a lot of sense. So here's a question. What do you want people to know? Okay, well, if you could tell people what not to expect in a reading, what should they not expect?
What should they not expect? Well, that's a hard question to answer because I've had so many different things happen on readings. I've had everything from spirits being attached to objects and coming along for the ride and standing there and talking to me.
Wow.
To objects being completely dead of the energy that people want and me having to read off of something else or off of what they're describing to me in order to get the reading that they want. I would say don't always expect a conversation. Because just like with any other psychic reading, sometimes the spirits are not willing to sit there and have a conversation. And especially, you know, in a crowded place or at a fair, sometimes those energies just aren't going to be present. And I don't want anybody to come in there with that anticipation and then not get it, even though I've had it happen many times. It's not a guarantee. And I never know when it's going to happen and when it's not. It's just one of those random things. And I can't really tell people what to expect. Sometimes I get a full personality and, like I said, is right there talking. Sometimes I get just an image. Sometimes I'll get who the person was and what their life was about. Sometimes I'll get images of what was important to them, the places they lived, the people that they loved, you know, whatever they did for their hobbies. Weird things sometimes, you know. Like images of workshops and building model planes and things. And if that's your grandpa, then maybe you really wanted to know, you know, what did he do with the deeds to our house? But I'm getting pictures of model planes in a workshop. You know. So
yeah.
It's unexpected, but it's going to be whatever's strongest with that energy. And that's what people should understand. It's going to be whatever's strongest with them. And that's going to be different with every person because we're all unique. And we all leave a unique little imprint. We're all going to leave unique little ripples in our pond. And I can't guarantee what those ripples are going to look like until I see it.
Very true, very true. So if someone is deciding to develop their own gifts with psychometry in particular, what's the best piece of advice that you could give them from your own experience?
I would practice with friends. I'd have them, give you objects or like I did, have them think about something and just write on a piece of paper and then read off, you know, touch the piece of paper and write down the first thing that comes to your mind. And then your friends are going to tell you whether or not you're right. I mean, hopefully they're not going to lie to you, you know. And and then just take that feedback constructively. And if you don't get it right every time, don't be discouraged because that's the hardest thing. And sometimes you're going to get mixed messages and you just have to take what you get because I find sometimes that the weird messages that you get, the ones that don't seem to make sense to you, make perfect sense to the client. And just say it, you know? Even if it sounds just completely off the wall, say it because you'll never know what makes sense to them. And as a client, I will tell you that when I go to a psychic, I don't ask any questions. I don't say anything. I sit there pretty deadpan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably a pretty frustrating client. And I don't give anything away until the very end of the reading, and then I'll tell them how they did. And I've had people come and do that to me, too, and the whole time I'm thinking, man, is this reading doing any good? Gosh, how am I doing? I'm not getting any feedback from this person. And at the end they'll go, yep, that was exactly right on. Everything was perfect. And I'm like, oh, thank goodness.
Thank God.
But they're doing exactly what I do, which, you know, that's the best way to test your ability. And have your friends do that. Don't let them smile when you get something right. Don't let them giggle whenever you start to get the right answer. Just have them sit there and be as stoic as possible until you're done. And then let them tell you, oh, okay, well, you got this right. This was a little off. This was the right person. This was the wrong thing or what have you. And just practice it and don't doubt yourself. Just say what the first thing that comes to your mind, because that 99% of the time is right.
And that can be the hardest part of it, really, I think, is the loosening that self-doubt, the yoke of self-doubt, because we're so trained in this society to go with logic and reason, and when it comes to your intuition and your spiritual gifts, it's not necessarily logical. It's not necessarily reasonable. Intuition doesn't work the same way as that those executive reasoning skills.
That's exactly right, and that is that you're spot on with that being the biggest hurdle. And especially with me in psychometry, I found that exactly is the biggest hurdle, because I didn't have anybody to learn this from. I didn't have anybody to kind of guide me and say, well, this is what I do and this is what works for me. And I went to get books and read about it, and the books just were so out there and didn't really apply to what I was doing or what I was feeling, and didn't go along with my empathic abilities and my intuitive abilities. And I thought, you know what? I'm on my own with this. I've just got to try what works for me until I get it right and just keep on plugging through. And that's what I've had to do over the years. And it takes a lot of practice. But, you know, if your friends are supportive, they can help you. If you've got peers in the metaphysical community, or if you've got a spiritual group that people want to help you with it, I would just use them as test subjects and have them give you something and read off of it just like I did, and until you get the hang of it, and eventually it'll come to you just like anything else does.
So true. Good advice. So tell me, how can clients contact you if they want to come to you for a reading, be it psychometry or tarot or the paranormal investigation work that you do, whatever it is that you do and that they need? How can they contact you?
Well, I have three good ways to contact me. My webpage is thefeelinist.webs.com, thefeelinist.webs.com, or you can email that same name, thefeelinist@yahoo.com, or I have a phone number, and this is a universal phone number that routes to my phone. So, and it's 816-944-0735, and that will connect to my psychic appointments. And you can make an appointment or leave a message about what you're looking for in an appointment, or if you want information, or if you want to leave your email address and you want me to send you a newsletter, what have you. And all of it's on there. So any of those three methods will work 24/7.
Great. Wonderful. Well, stick with us. We'll be right back with you for some final words. We're going to go to Mike right now so that he can tell us what's coming up over the next few months in the Psychical Research Society of Kansas City. Take it away, Mikey.
All right. Coming up this month on the 19th, we have Joe Anderson with An Evening with Bill. And then in November on the 14th, we have Robin Stevens with Feng Shui. And then December 5th, we have our annual holiday dinner and award ceremony. All of these will be at the Westwood, Kansas Community Center at 4700 Rainbow. All PRS members get in for free, and everyone else is welcome to join us for $5. Then October 16th through the 18th, we have our annual psychic fair. That's at the Howard Johnson Plaza at 1601 North Universal in Kansas City. We start on Friday and go through Sunday. All of this information can be found at our website, prskc.org.
And the cover charge for that is $10, and that will get you in for the entire weekend, not just one day, but all 3 days of the fair. So if you want to come back, you can. We have some great new stuff going on this year, including workshops. They're like two-hour-long workshops, not just the normal lectures that we have every year, but these are very intense workshops that focus more on different aspects of what are the healing modalities or psychic modalities, and yeah, they're much more in depth, and I think you're really going to find that fascinating. Next week on PRS, we're actually going to have a bit of a panel on what's coming up in the fair, what to expect, who's going to be there, what kind of stuff can you find. We want to know all about the fair, so we've got our panel next week. The following week, on September 23rd, we have a visit from our good friend, Larissa M. Vitt, author and intuitive and Reiki master teacher. She's going to be here talking about her newest book that's going to be out in not too long. And then the final week in September, we have Matthew Gaines, Truth Coach. And I'm really excited about the rest of this month's lineup. This is great. October 7th, we have Sapphire Moonbeam. She's another good friend of ours that's been on our show before. She's an absolutely amazing intuitive artist and artisan. And she's going to be at the fair too. I mean, we got so many great things coming up and great people, and you're going to have a ball. Well, I want to thank you so much for being with us, Kat. I really enjoyed having you, and I've learned so much from you, and I appreciate that. And I know our listeners do as well. Do you have any last words you want to leave us with?
No, I really appreciate you having me on the show. I hope to see everybody at the fair in October, and hope everybody has a wonderful night.
Yes, me too. And yeah, go see Kat and Sarah for a reading. Come see me for a reading. I'll be there all weekend, as always. Reading and reading and reading. You know how it is. lots of fun. And we're going to have lots of vendors and lectures and workshops and healers. And it's the largest fair of its kind in the Midwest. And it is probably the oldest, too. This is our 45th annual Fall Psychic Fair. So this is very exciting. Well, thank you so much again, Kat, and I absolutely loved having you, and I hope to have you again sometime.
Well, thank you very much, and I hope so too.
Great, wonderful. Well, you have a wonderful night. Thank you to you. Thank you to Mike, our wonderful co-host. Thank you to PRS for bringing us this program, and thank you to all of you out there for listening. You have a beautiful and blessed night. Join us next week, and let everybody know that they can catch this on archive if they missed it the first time around, okay? Have a blessed night. Cue that music.